Trey Ware. Stay connected with News Talk 550 KTSA and FM 1071 on Facebook, Twitter, and online at KTSA.com.
552 on 550 and 1071. KTSA, Jack or Carney, late afternoon show. You can always jump in at 210-599-5555. The Centers for Disease Control in the news with new guidance on how coronavirus spreads. And so we bring into the conversation on our KTSA Kinetico Quality Water Softeners Newsmaker line, Dr. Fred Campbell from UT Health San Antonio. And Dr. Campbell, welcome back. Good evening to you.
Thank you, Jack.
What is the new guidance on airborne transmission, and what does it mean in our, you know, practical day-to-day application?
Well, that's a really good question. I think practicality is uppermost in our considerations with spread. The CDC has been confusing, but they do at least talk about the possibility of aerosolization of COVID-19 and the fact that that, although it is very uncommon, seemingly, will actually spread the virus, or can spread the virus. By far, the most frequent means of spreading the virus is with droplets, which are heavier particles and only go about 6 feet or less. So that is the practical aspect of things, even though aerosolization is feasible and probably has caused some instances of COVID transmission. It's unusual compared to the droplets. Mm.
So our primary approach of the 6 feet of separation, it continues, but what does this tell us for people that are trying to take every reasonable precaution? What does this tell us in addition to the 6 feet rule?
It appears that aerosol transmission has occurred more frequently in closed spaces that did not receive significant ventilation. Outside is still the very best place to be in terms of transmission. And secondly, an area that is extremely well ventilated. So from a practical standpoint, folks should get out. They should be out of doors. They should, when they do go inside buildings for any period of time, they should make sure those buildings are well ventilated and that people are at least appearing to satisfy the social distancing and masking rules. And if that is the case, then the risk is low.
What does it tell us for when we think about ventilation? I mean, almost every place is in some degree ventilated. But if you think about something like sitting on an airplane, that's recirculated air. Or if you think about an apartment building with multiple units, it may be well ventilated, but it may also be that the air passes through more than one unit. So are they giving us anything to go on in settings like that, or is that still kind of a gray area?
It is a gray area. There is no question that fresh air ventilation appears to be the very best means of reducing spread through aerosolization. Yes, there could very well be situations like laminar flow rooms in hospitals where artificial recirculation is effective in really diminishing viral transmission. However, nothing beats fresh air, nothing beats exposure to sunlight in terms of minimizing COVID virus transmission.
We're talking with Dr. Fred Campbell from UT Health San Antonio on KTSA. And I was curious, how does this transmittability, which I'm sure is not a word, but forgive me for making it up, how does it compare to the ability of seasonal flu to be transmitted through droplets, through aerosol, in these same ways?
Again, that's a great question. There are certain types of viruses, for instance, previous SARS viruses or MERS viruses, which caused really severe epidemics and death, that don't have the same infectivity that COVID-19 has. Now, unfortunately, influenza is highly infectious, and the strains that we typically vaccinate against are similar in many respects. Now, COVID-19 has a very, very high infectivity rate, but both of those kinds of viruses should be vaccinated against because they're both infectious and deadly.
And something I know we've talked about before, I know that you and everyone in the medical community is advocating flu shots, get them, keep up with them. Are the precautions we would take to not get COVID likely to be effective or reduce the spread of regular flu?
Oh, absolutely. The precautions of social distancing and masking have been used for decades in other parts of the world to reduce infectivity from flu. So that's been a proven technique in many, many places in the world. So there's no question that COVID precautions are going to be good flu precautions.
So we're going to get more bang for our buck this fall.
Absolutely. I think that if people are really, really careful, and I think there's evidence that in many parts of this country that's happening, they're going to have a better season with influenza for sure.
Yeah. Very good. Dr. Fred Campbell, always appreciate your time, sir. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Jack.
All right, we'll talk to you again. We'll get to the news here coming up from Dennis. We're going to do something on this show next hour that we very, very seldom do, and it's not that we don't want to do it, but I mean, we value and appreciate every listener and certainly every caller. But we had a caller today who was just, I've had so much email about his call, and it was just extraordinary. And so once in a while, we just think, you know, we got to replay that again. The audience has turned over. People have come. People have gone. People have tuned in the last little while that didn't hear that call. We're going to replay it for you coming up here, among many other things, on 550 and